30 years ago, a University of Pittsburgh history student and pottery maker named Bill Strickland started a program to teach ceramics to children in his impoverished neighborhood. Under his directorship, the Manchester Craftsmen's Guild has grown not only to become one of the country's most successful local art centers, but also a model for community development. This year, Strickland received one of the so-called Genius Awards from the MacArthur Foundation. Phyllis Joffe has this profile of Bill Strickland and his guild.
Bill Strickland understands the power of creating a positive impression. It's what the Manchester Craftsmen's Guild is all about. Strickland discovered this power in high school when a ceramics teacher caught his attention.
He had a wonderful house, he had a beautiful wife, he had style, he had class, he had humor, he had all the attributes that I wanted to have as an adult. So what I did was I patterned my life after Mr. Ross, which included becoming a ceramic artist.
Mr. Ross took 15-year-old Bill Strickland under his wing and made the young man his apprentice. Strickland soon became an accomplished ceramist. Then he became involved in the 1960s civil rights movement, spending a high school summer in Georgia registering voters and learning how to mobilize people for a cause. Then he put the two together.
There was and is a connection in my mind between the arts and social change, that I was very clear that my life was saved by the arts and a teacher who cared about me, and the process and the discipline and the excitement and the experience of the company learning ceramics was liberating. It literally changed the way I saw reality. And I was smart enough to realize that I could transfer that experience to other human beings, that that was not unique to me, that it was unique to the nature of what the arts were.
While still in college, Strickland convinced the Pittsburgh Episcopal Diocese to let him use one of its buildings in Manchester to run a ceramics program for inner-city teenagers. He named it the Manchester Craftsmen's Guild, after the guilds of old England.
That's what kind of relationship I, in reality, had with my instructor. I was a master craftsman and an apprentice. It seemed to work, so why not organize that concept into a program?
Today, nearly 500 students participate in that program free of charge. They come from high schools throughout Pittsburgh for studio programs in ceramics, photography, painting, drawing, and computer imaging. Another 4,000 students a week attend workshops run by the Guild in the city's 12 public high schools. And every summer, Guild students get to spend a week or two in arts residency programs at nearby universities.
You're doing the exhibit?
Yeah.
When's the exhibit?
I think Friday, I'm not sure.
So you got to get stuff ready for Friday.
Yeah, I have a couple things ready.
At Slippery Rock University near Pittsburgh, 15-year-old Darius Cunningham puts finishing touches on his web page with help from Guild instructor Lisa Link. At a nearby computer terminal, 17-year-old Laton Glanton says that in his Pittsburgh neighborhood, there's not a lot to do, so kids get into trouble. He came to the Guild a couple of years ago because it offered him a chance to get into something he liked.
I'm into painting and drawing, like I draw, and also computer animation designs. I've been designing, like, a couple of things this year, like CD covers, redesigning CD covers, and other pictures, and drawings, too, that's been put in art shows and art exhibits in 96.
Glanton says before he started coming to the Guild, he didn't think much about the future. Now he's looking into college and planning a career. Bill Strickland says that's the point of the Guild, not just to train artists, but to use the arts to give kids a reason to strive.
You can't teach a kid algebra if they're not interested in being alive. The first problem you got to solve is how to get the child to feel like life is worth living. That's the business of the arts. That's what we do. That's what we talk about. That's its vocabulary. And so what happens is through a gradual process of exposure to ceramics or photography or computer imaging or whatever, the students are given an opportunity to not only use their own imagination, which is individual and unique to them, there is a constant process of feedback that comes from their peers and from their instructors and from their parents and from the public that says you are doing good things. You are worth something. Your ideas are unique and special to you, and we celebrate you for being that way. And once we're able to get the student to feel that education and learning is something special, then we gradually introduce the concept of additional learning beyond the arts.
In 1991, President Bush appointed Strickland, a Republican, to the National Council on the Arts, the governing board for the National Endowment for the Arts, which frequently cites the Manchester Craftsmen's Guild as an example of what an arts program can teach kids. Lonnie Graham directs the Guild's photography program.
What we try to do is reinforce the idea that the arts are integrated into what we do and what we know every day, and how important all of that stuff is, and how important just the idea that you can look at things from a different point of view is. That's what the arts are about. Photography has everything to do with choice. We talk about decisions and decision-making processes, so that we're not talking about, you know, the artist as a single individual working in a studio or something. We're talking about the arts and the art community as a whole and how it impacts on everyone's life. And I think that that's really important.
Photography was just a hobby at first for 11th grade student Naomi Kentwell.
Well, this is my portfolio. It's not really much because I got two rolls of film and a dryer. This one is a picture of my reflection in the El Dorado. This is some man's Jaguar, and this is a Intrepid. And they was all taken around the Guild.
You like cars? Huh?
Yeah.
But after a summer in Lonnie Graham's workshop, Kentwell is starting to see that even a hobby can have its practical side.
My main field I'm interested in happens to be cosmetology. So working with a camera helps me be able to take good pictures of the work that I do in cosmetology so I can later advertise if I ever own my own shop or do work at home. I can show other people to help them get ideas. So yeah, they're connected.
Kentwell has a better shot at starting her own business than most Pittsburgh high schoolers, according to a study by the Harvard Business School. It reported that 80% of the students who complete programs at the Manchester Craftsmen's Guild go on to college, as compared with 20% of the graduates from all of Pittsburgh's public high schools.
Good morning, Manchester Craftsmen's Guild. Thank you.
One of the reasons the Guild is so successful, Bill Strickland believes, is the way it looks. About a dozen years ago, he commissioned the two-story red brick building from architect Tasso Katselis, who studied with Frank Lloyd Wright. Huge windows and skylights, shiny tile floors, curved walls, and arches trimmed with wood create a bright, welcoming interior. The building stands out against the economically deprived neighborhood around it. Once home to Pittsburgh's wealthy industrialists, Manchester was largely left out of the post-industrial renaissance that transformed Pittsburgh in the 1980s. The pride that administrators and students take in the facility has not gone unnoticed by the community. Bill Strickland says there have been no drug or alcohol problems in the building, no fights, racial incidents, broken windows, and virtually no thefts.
Welcome, Stephanie. How are you today?
A tour of the Manchester Craftsmen's Guild leads to the Bidwell Training Center, a vocational program occupying a wing of the same building. Bill Strickland also runs the Bidwell Center.
All right, how are you doing?
As we walk through the facility, he explains that the training center is another facet of the Guild's approach to education.
It's very difficult in a poor community just to talk about culture if nobody's working.
The Bidwell Training Center offers jobless adults courses in medical, pharmaceutical, and computer technology, and culinary arts.
This is not a poverty program, it's a training center. And that's just not a play on words, that's a whole attitude about the way in which we approach people who are poor. We've got to resemble the thing that we want them to become, not the thing that they are. And that's a big difference. And what you're seeing is our concept of an advanced technology training center for poor people.
5 years ago, the Bidwell Training Center launched a for-profit food company, which now employs 50 people and has grossed more than $1 million. Its profits go back to the training center and the Craftsmen's Guild. Strickland sees his arts program in much the same way. While some arts administrators have questioned Strickland's vocational approach to arts education, he says there's nothing wrong with teaching people the joy of creating art while showing them they can actually earn a living at it.
In my mind, there's really no difference between vocational education and arts education. It's all education. They're just different pieces of the same puzzle. Traditionally, vocational education was limited to the students who did not perform well academically, if you remember from your own experience. What we've done is flipped that around and said there is pride and prestige and honor associated with vocation. The same thing is held true in terms of how we look at the arts. We look at the arts as vocation. They learn skill in clay, they learn skill in photography, they learn skill in computer imaging, they learn skill in drawing. And in that way, it democratizes the concept of the arts so that the arts become accessible to everybody and not just restricted to those of us who happen to be born with artistic ability, whatever that is. We all have an imagination. We're born with it. And all we're doing is capturing that and reinforcing that and celebrating that.
And capitalizing on it. The Guild's performing arts program generates income for the facility through ticket sales to jazz concerts in its auditorium, which has a digital recording studio attached. The in-house MCG label has released 2 CDs so far, with sale proceeds earmarked for a jazz education program. As another source of income, Strickland intends to build a greenhouse on a nearby vacant lot for a training center in urban agriculture. It would pay for itself in part by sales of flowers, hydroponic food, and ceramic items crafted at the Guild. Strickland's dream is to eventually build an office tower, bank, and women's healthcare facility adjacent to the Guild, all creating revenue enough to make the Manchester Guild and Bidwell Center independent of philanthropy and government funding. Right now, those sources provide about 90% of the Guild's annual budget. Bill Strickland believes that arts organizations should not be asking their communities for funding if they can't provide something that stays with the community once performances and exhibitions have moved on.
I think that we could solve the problems of the cities in our lifetimes. No one has to be living in the conditions that are represented in urban environments across this country as they are. I believe that this kind of place at Bidwell in Manchester could become standard operating practice, SOP, in this country in the next 30 years. But in order to achieve that, we're going to have to get a lot more aggressive and a lot more activist in terms of our orientation and our thinking. And the meter's running.
And Bill Strickland is behind the wheel. For National Public Radio, I'm Phyllis Jaffe.